You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, October the 17th, 2019. Your boy Q here had to go and get a little dentist appointment. I had a little dentist appointment this morning. I had to get the teeth clean, so I had to get up bright and early. So got up a little bit earlier than usual. Knocked out all my stuff at the radio station super earlier in the morning, and then went over to the dentist appointment, dentist office, and got the teeth clean. So looking all good and feeling good. You know, you always feel a little bit different when you come out the dentist office, right? Especially when your teeth get clean, you feel like you're a little different dude. Well, anyway, I'm a different dude, but I'm the same dude on today's episode, and just having a little bit of fun with you on this Thursday. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, going to have your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Didn't get any calls on Wednesday's episode because I had the crossover edition with Peter Bukowski. He's the host of Locked On Packers. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation, that interview, and got a little bit of intel on what the Packers are going to look like, or what they should look like coming up on Sunday versus the Raiders. That was on Wednesday's show, so that's why I didn't have any calls off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Segment number two, going to talk about this Trent Brown situation, what's going on with him. And look, I talked about it briefly on Wednesday, just broke the news kind of on the podcast as it was coming down, you know, on Twitter and through the media, ESPN, Pro Football Talk, everything. Just kind of broke it down a little bit from the information that I was aware of. But I really kind of want to talk about it in segment number two and really get in depth with it, because domestic violence is something that I'm very much against. Let me go ahead and first of all say that, and have a very strong stance on. And again, everyone is innocent until proven guilty, even though in this society it doesn't always shake out like that. A lot of times you're guilty until proven innocent, and that's not right. But going to talk about the Trent Brown situation, how it can affect the Raiders, what might happen, what are some factors that are going to play into what's going to happen with him moving forward with the Raiders. All that we're going to talk about in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I want to give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. And let's go ahead and just jump right into it, starting with right tackle Trent Brown. He did not practice on Wednesday. He was actually in the rehab pool dealing with the calf strain that head coach John Gruden said he acquired on Monday at practice. And I'm not going to say that that's false, but it just sounded kind of weird where he said that he wasn't practicing, he was dealing with the calf strain, he got it on Monday while he was in practice. And look, that could very well be the truth. It just seemed, like I said, seemed a little strange. Timing was a little off to me, but either way, it is what it is. Trent Brown did not practice on Wednesday, and John Gruden said he wasn't sure. He didn't know if Trent Brown was going to be able to play on Sunday, so we're going to have to monitor that as time goes. Well, right tackle Trent Brown did release a statement on Twitter on Wednesday, a real short but sweet statement saying, "I am aware that my ex-girlfriend has filed a civil suit against me. I deny the claims. They are false. I believe in the court system where I will clear my name. I will not be making any further comment at this time." I'm surprised he released that on Twitter, but either way, that's his statement saying that everything that was said was false, and that's fine. That's okay. I mean, that's what I kind of expect him to say anyway, that it's not true. And look, again, I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not saying he's innocent. Domestic violence is one of those situations where you really got to be careful and not just judge it based off of, you know, silver and black glasses. Like, if he's playing for the Chiefs, would you think that he's innocent? Would you think that he's guilty? You can't have that kind of approach. When it's domestic violence and it's as serious as the allegations are against Trent Brown, you have to take that very, very seriously. So I do not like to just gloss over it like it's no big deal. Again, we'll talk about Trent Brown and all the accusations that are against him coming up in segment number two. As far as injuries go, wide receiver Tyrell Williams, he did not practice, and I really do not believe, and this is just a gut feeling, he's not going to play on Sunday. Head coach John Gruden said he's dealing with plantar fasciitis, and he also said it's not getting better. Again, that could be a major, major issue. That could be something that could sideline this guy for multiple weeks. I know that's an issue that Amari Cooper had at the end of his rookie year, and he ended up playing throughout the rest of the year, but it really, really slowed him down because it's a really painful injury on your foot. So that could be a major issue moving forward with Tyrell Williams, and honestly, I don't believe that he's going to play on Sunday. I could be wrong. He could end up playing later on today or practicing later on today. He could end up practicing later on Friday. I don't know. But as my gut feeling tells me, don't expect to see Tyrell Williams out there on Sunday versus the Green Bay Packers. Another piece of news for the Raiders are they're locking up tight end Darren Waller. That's right, breakout star Darren Waller. They are locking him up on a 3-year contract extension. He'll be with the team through 2023. It is expected to be about a $9 million a year extension, and that's really good, saying he was going to be a restricted free agent at the end of this year. There have been some people that are saying, hey, got to get this guy locked up. Go on and give him the money before you know, he gets out there and gets a big money deal somewhere else. Well, the Raiders did not worry about that. They knew they had some money underneath the cap, and they had flexibility to go ahead and make that happen. So on Wednesday, they came to agreement with Darren Waller, tight end Darren Waller, on a 3-year contract extension worth about $9 million a year. Really good story. Continues to get better. The guy had six catches, Raider Nation, in 2018, period. Now, he's already leading the team in catches. He's playing like a bat out of hell. I mean, he's a star. He's overcame a lot of things, a lot of adversity in his life. He still has challenges that he has to face each and every day, but he's doing it. He's battling it. He's doing a heck of a job. And now he's got a 3-year extension worth $9 million a year with the Raiders, so he's not going anywhere. So, yeah, give a hand clap to tight end Darren Waller. Also, the Raiders worked out free agent running backs LeGarrette Blount and running back Bo Scarborough. Those are two, if you know who those guys are, you recognize those names, those are some bruising running backs. Those are some big dudes. Those are some guys kind of like what you expected the Raiders to do when they first started the season, have a guy like Josh Jacobs, have a guy like DeAndre Washington or Jalen Richard, not both, but one of those guys, and then have a big bruising back. Well, LeGarrette Blount and running back Bo Scarborough, those are supposed to be two bruising backs. If it's me, I'm going with LeGarrette Blount. I have more faith in LeGarrette Blount than I do in Bo Scarborough, because as a guy who really appreciates Alabama football, I saw Bo Scarborough, and he's a big dude. He's a big specimen. But I always said, watching Alabama football, that he was big for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was big, strong, but he'd get hit by the ankle and he'd fall. He just was I like to call him a big waste of size. You know, it's almost like in basketball where you see that big, tall guy that you just think should dominate on the hoop court, and he's just soft and he's not very good. In my opinion, that's who Bo Scarborough is. Just not a very good guy at all. He's big. He's pretty fast, but when you hit him at the ankle, he just falls. He drops. There's way too many times I saw Alabama handling the ball, and he fell for like a 1-yard gain or a negative gain, and he should be falling forward for 4 or 5 yards every time because he's just a big dude. Well, Bo Scarborough, he was never that dude at Alabama, and he really hasn't been that dude in the NFL. But LeGarrette Blount, he's been on multiple teams. He's won multiple championships. Is he going to get you 1,000 yards rushing? Probably not. But you know what he can do? He can pick up 3rd-and-1. He could pick up 4th-and-1. He could be that guy down by the goal line, similar to what Zach Crockett was back in the day. Just hand him the ball 3 or 4 times, and you know he's probably going to get in because he's a big, nasty, bruising running back. If you don't remember and you haven't followed LeGarrette Blount's career, maybe you haven't been a guy or a person that follows the NFL real closely. Coming out of school, remember when LeGarrette Blount was in Oregon and he punched the player? He punched the opposing team's player. I can't remember what player it was or what team it was, but he punched him in the face after the game. That's LeGarrette Blount. He's been suspended multiple times for weed. He's won a ring in Philadelphia, won a ring with the Patriots. I mean, he's a guy who is a good player. He played with the Steelers. I mean, he's played all over the league. He's a veteran, been around for quite a while. He's got some issues, absolutely, but he has a little nasty streak to him, similar to almost a Richie Incognito. He's like a running back similar to Richie Incognito. Now, I'm not saying he's a bully, and he hasn't tried to like cut anybody's head off or anything and really gone through no issues like that, but LeGarrette Blount's got a couple screws loose as far as I'm concerned, but I can see him being a guy that John Gruden picks up, and he picks up those tough short yards. And I know Alec Ingold's been able to hold that down for the most part, but I can see LeGarrette Blount being one of those guys, and maybe the Raiders say, you know what, we don't need Jalen Richard or DeAndre Washington. I think they would release one of them. If they sign either LeGarrette Blount or Bo Scarborough, and I'm not saying they're going to, but if they do sign one of the two, I definitely think that they'll probably move on from Jalen Richard. But that's just me. And we all know how I feel about Jalen Richard. Head coach John Gruden, he did get to meet with the media on Wednesday, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, but there was a couple little quotes that I took away from it that I do want to play for you real quick, just his thoughts on a couple things. Matter of fact, I had one quote from Derek Carr as well, so I got a couple quotes from John Gruden, one from Derek Carr that I wanted to play for you here in segment number one of today's podcast. And the first one was Gruden talking about the Packers offense, which of course the Packers are the next team up. Head coach Matt LaFleur, what is the Packers offense like under head coach Matt LaFleur, and what is his thoughts on quarterback Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of different things with the structure of their plays, but Rodgers is still working the snap count. You see him beat Denver with the hard count. His magnificent scrambling, creating offense is uncommon. It's just unbearable to watch. I hate watching this guy. He's fun to watch, but he's really not fun to watch when you got to play against him. He still has a very quick trigger, deadly accurate, a lot of overall athleticism, and a great competitor. You saw it again the other night.
I really don't think it matters who Aaron Rodgers plays for, because Aaron Rodgers is still going to be Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, the Packers offense isn't really clicking at 100%, but they're playing well. And right now sitting at 5-1, that's a lot because of their defense, but a lot also because Aaron Rodgers is really, really good and helps put his team in the best position to win games. Matt LaFleur is doing a good job. And again, if you're a rookie head coach and you're 5-1, things are going right, no doubt about that. John Gruden was also asked about one of his players that has been playing really, really well, undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin, fullback Alec Ingold, and he has some pretty good things to say about him. And look, Alec Ingold's the guy that's been getting a lot of love on the podcast. A lot of people have been talking about him because he just filled in that role at the fullback position, took over in training camp when Keith Smith was injured, and he's been shining so far early in the season. John Gruden was asked about fullback Alec Ingold.
Yeah, we love Ingold at the Senior Bowl. We stamped a bunch of Raiders stickers on his helmet. He was really ticked off he didn't get drafted. And if I'd done anything right since I've been here coaching the Raiders, it was a recruiting call I made to Ingold. You know, I'm really happy about getting him here. He played quarterback at high school in Green Bay. This is a big game for him. I'm trying to get some video of him throwing the ball, but all I have is him handing off. But we're really thrilled with this kid. He's got a real presence about him. And a huge upside.
So there you hear right there, John Gruden talking about we're thrilled with Alec Ingold. They loved him at the Senior Bowl, put a lot of those Raider stickers on the side of his helmet. And Alec Ingold was actually mad as a fullback that he did not get drafted. But either way, he's playing major role for the Raiders this season and doing a heck of a job as that fullback, as that lead blocker, and even gets to carry the rock every once in a while. So, Zay Jones, new wide receiver brought in from the Buffalo Bills. Raiders gave up that fifth round 2021 pick for him. John Gruden was asked about Zay Jones and what he could bring to the table.
I like Zay Jones. We like Zay Jones in East Carolina. And obviously, with the number of injuries that we have had, we've had a lot of things happen to our wide receiver core. So we've been on the lookout to acquire some good young players. Can't say enough about the job Trevor has done as our returner, as our flanker. And to get Zay Jones for what we feel like we gave up is a risk well worth taking, and we'll see if it pays any dividends. But he's a good young player. He's got some size and speed and was a very, very productive receiver. So we're happy to have him.
So I love how Coach Gruden said that we're happy to have him. We like the size, we like the speed, but we'll see if for what we gave up, if it's a risk worth taking, and if it pays any dividends. Obviously, a fifth round pick in 2021 is not a lot to give up. So he's hoping that, you know, what they gave up is going to be a lot less than the reward that they get at the end of the table. But I'm liking that he's not guaranteeing anything. He's basically saying, like, we'll see. This guy's given an opportunity to see if he goes out and makes the best of it. I think that's the best way to do it. That's the best kind of approach to have with a guy who hasn't really done anything in 2019 and is looking for that opportunity. Well, the Raiders are trying to give you that opportunity. Can you take advantage of it? So if you're going to talk about Zay Jones, the new wide receiver, you got to ask QB1 about the guy, right? Right. So Derek Carr, he had his media session. Definitely not going to play that. But I am going to play his answer when he was asked about Zay Jones and what his thoughts on him were.
Zay's a really good football player. As soon as we traded for him, Lee Smith FaceTimed me, who y'all know is now in Buffalo, and he said, I can't believe it, man. He said, you're going to absolutely love this guy. I don't know what happened in Buffalo. To be honest with you, I wasn't paying much attention to other teams and their situations in-house. But what I do know is when he showed up, I was like, dang, who's this guy? You know, I was a fan of his when he was coming out of college. Very productive in college. I remember watching him making crazy highlight catches and 10 catch games all the time, pretty much, and all these kind of things. And he got to Buffalo, had some really great days also. So I don't know what happened there, but all I know is that he's one of the most polite, humble, hardworking guys I've been around. It means something to him, and I'm glad we got him. And for what we gave up for him, you wouldn't think that that's what he was, you know, worth. So I definitely love the deal, and I'm excited that we have him.
So there you heard it. Derek Carr, quarterback one, QB one. He's excited to have Zay Jones. Head coach John Gruden excited to have Zay Jones. Now, let's see how excited Zay Jones is to be a member of the Oakland Raiders, see if he can go out there and perform and bring something to the table. Of course, I don't expect him to know the whole playbook. Don't expect him to just be a killer and all of a sudden wide receiver one. Don't expect that at all. But want to see if he can contribute in some way to this team and help fill the void that might be left over by Tyrell Williams not being able to play in practice because he's dealing with that plantar fasciitis. Him and Trevor Davis are going to probably have to play a major role, even though it's not going to be major as far as production goes, but still going to have to play a role, fill a gap, and, you know, be some kind of playmakers. Not sure exactly what kind of playmakers John Gruden is expecting them to be. Don't know exactly what kind of plays he has designed for them, but whatever he has set up for them, they need to go ahead and fill that role, especially with Tyrell Williams being out. And again, I don't expect him to play on Sunday. I could be wrong, and I'd be pleasantly wrong, but just get that gut feeling that Tyrell Williams will not be out there on Sunday versus the Green Bay Packers. Coming up in segment number 2, we're going to talk all things Trent Brown, talk about his domestic violence accusations, what's going on, and got a lot of things that I want you to think about when you think about this situation and your gut feeling and how you want to feel about this situation, hoping he's innocent, hoping he's guilty, what the punishments might be, and what may factor into that. That's all coming up in segment number 2. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about my bookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. And let's face it, where you're betting, you already know, it's just as important as who you're betting on. I definitely would not tell you about this if they were not the best place to bet. Definitely want to bet with MyBookie. If you're going to bet on football season, again, MyBookie. They're going to hook you up. And you can bet on games after the kickoff. If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, well, no worries. You can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, boom, you'll multiply your winnings. And who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to multiply their winnings? Everyone wants to do that, all right? Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Go to MyBookie.ag today. Again, that's MyBookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid from MyBookie. Segment number 2 is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, October 17, 2019. Want to take this segment and talk all things Trent Brown. The news came down on Wednesday. I believe he was really accused on Tuesday, and the lawsuit was actually filed on Tuesday. But Trent Brown, right tackle from the Raiders, he was accused of domestic violence on multiple occasions. Really, really bad. I talked about it briefly on Wednesday's episode, but I just kind of basically said what he's being accused of. It's a civil suit. It is not a criminal suit as of right now, but still is a terrible look for Trent Brown, and it's a terrible look for the Raiders. Don't need any more kind of headaches, any more kind of challenges. Adversity, whatever you want to call it, the Raiders really don't need that right now, dealing with everything that they've gone through throughout the season. I mean, think about it real quick. Think of all the issues and the headaches they've had all so far this season. Antonio Brown, his feet, his helmet, his contract, his, you know, fighting with Mike Mayock. I mean, that was already enough. Having to release him, he goes to the Patriots. Well, we all know what happened with him. Vontaze Burfict, he's been suspended for the season, so we already know what's going on with him. Injuries galore. Got guys that are banged up all over the place. Tyrell Williams, he's banged up. Playing in Canada during the preseason. Playing about 7 weeks on the road. Having to go to London. You know what I mean? Having 2 games at home and then boom, you're on the road. The whole month of October, you don't even see Oakland. You know what I mean? Like, you're on the road for so long. They've had so much adversity and so many challenges that they've had to overcome so far this season, and they're not out of the woods yet. And then all of a sudden, this situation with Trent Brown comes up where he's being accused of domestic violence. And, I mean, it's just real, real ugly. I read it off on Wednesday's show just about what he's being accused of. Apparently, he slapped the plaintiff across the face, leaving her mouth bloody and her face bruised. He has bruised and bloodied and battered her on multiple occasions. He threatened to shoot your ass in the effing head. That's what he said. That's what the plaintiff said. At one point, she threatened to leave with their son, and that's when he said that. Also, the lawsuit alleges in March of 2019, Brown grabbed her face, covered her mouth while choking her out until she couldn't breathe, leaving a ring of bruises around her neck. The lawsuit also says in April of 2019, Brown grabbed plaintiff's arm, took her into a room, locked the door, slapped her across the face, and punched her in the ribs. That's all while the couple was vacationing in Hawaii. June 2019, Brown allegedly slapped this lady in the face, resulting in police being called to the scene and a police report being filed. I mean, those are all accusations. Not saying that any of it's true, not saying any of it's not true, but those are the accusations right there. Also, there's been other articles coming out that say that they were supposed to get married. He had promised to marry her and take care of her financially, her and the family financially, and he didn't do it. Yada, yada, yada. Either way, this is just a mess. It really, really is. He's being accused of a lot of terrible things, and you got to think about it like this. There's his side of the story, there's her side of the story, and somewhere there's going to be the truth. So somehow, us as fans have to sit back and fall back and just wait and find out what the NFL is going to find out, what they report, and hopefully they find out the absolute truth. Because the most important thing is if he did this, he should not only have to pay the money that she's looking for, but he should lose his job. In all actuality, in all reality, he should lose his job. There should be no place for domestic violence. And I get it. He's a hell of a player. And I get it. There's a bunch of players across the NFL that have been accused of domestic violence, have been found guilty of domestic violence, and they still play the game that they love, including Frank Clark. Frank Clark from the Kansas City Chiefs is one of them. I get it. Tyreek Hill, we already know the situation he had with the kids. But I'll tell you right now, as a man, there is no place for domestic violence. So if this is true, and he's guilty of doing these things that he's doing, yes, he should have to pay whatever she's asking for, but he should also lose his job with the Oakland Raiders. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's my thoughts. That's my thoughts as a guy who roots for the Oakland Raiders, wants the Oakland Raiders to win, and wants the best players to be on the team. But if that is the truth, there is no room for that, because a real man does not put his hands on a woman anytime, anywhere, anyhow, period. There's no but. There's nothing. There's nothing. There is no buts. And I'm not saying that he's guilty of this, because I don't know. I'm just telling you, I didn't talk about it in great detail on Wednesday because it was just being rolled out there. As I went through the rest of the day and I read more articles and found out more information and still don't know what the truth is, Trent Brown came out with his statement. I talked about that in segment number one. He said, I'm aware that my ex-girlfriend has filed a civil lawsuit against me. I deny the claims. They are false. I believe in the court system where I will clear my name. I will not be making any further comments at this time. He sounds very confident, but what is he supposed to say? Yeah, I did it. My bad. No. And again, I'm not saying he did it. I just know that the accusation is out there, and it sickens me. He is a grown man, and I don't care. And I've been in that situation, Raider Nation. I'll tell you that right now. I've been in that situation multiple times. My oldest son's mom, my oldest son, Kimani, his mom, not only is she crazy, but when she was pregnant, about 7 months pregnant with my son, Kimani, she ran and jumped on my back. I had my back to her. I didn't even know she was coming. She ran and jumped on my back while I was standing in the parking lot of the mall. The mall right there in Pleasanton. Stone Ridge Mall is the name of it. She jumped on my back. I fell to the ground because, one, well, she's someone jumping on my back and I wasn't expecting it. Oh, and by the way, you're pregnant with a child in your belly. Anyway, I fell, hands down, and it scraped up the middle of my hands. So guess what that caused? Bleeding. And guess what happened? Somebody saw it, and they called the police. Stone Ridge Mall police came. They called the Pleasanton police. Guess what I look like? I'm a black man with blood on my hands. Pregnant woman there, arguing in the parking lot. Guess who's guilty? Me. You know what they did? They put me in handcuffs. They put me next to the car, and they sat there and talked to me. And I told them, at the end of the day, officer, I did nothing. You can see this is on the inside of my hands, not the outside. I would never put my hands on a woman, never put my hands on her. Yes, she's crazy. Yes, she's nuts, but I didn't do it. And at some point, the truth came out where they said, oh yeah, he didn't do anything. He actually was the victim. And they let me go. But that's just a bad look. You know what I mean? It's a bad look. And that's happened with her multiple times because, like I said, she's crazy. And I'm not saying that this is what happened with Trent Brown. I'm just saying any of these situations are possible. This could always happen to anybody. You always have to walk away. Even if you are being put in a terrible situation, even if someone is putting hands on you, like I said on Wednesday, you cover your head in your stones and you keep it pushing. And that's exactly what I did. But let's think about this. Because this is not about me. This is about Trent Brown. A lot of people, including myself, I have said that if he's guilty of this, he should be released. Well, check this out. If the Raiders release him, say they release him like in 2 weeks when the evidence comes out or whatever. Say they release him in 2 weeks. He'll be $36 million in dead money. That'd be a $36 million dead money hit against the Raiders salary cap this year. $21 million against the dead cap next year. And I know, and my man brother Marquise actually texted me and told me that, yeah, but there's probably offset language in the contract that can make him get out of it. Yeah, probably. There's probably some kind of language in there, but I don't know what it is. I don't. So I'm not going to pretend to know. So right now on the surface, if they release Trent Brown for any reason, that's a $36 million cap hit this year. $21 million cap hit next year. Would the team be willing to eat that? That's my question. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying, would they be willing to eat that? That's a lot of money for a professional team to just sit there and eat. I know Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, has a policy against domestic violence because of what happened to Freddie Biletnikoff's daughter. I get that. I totally get that. But John Gruden's now running the show there in Oakland. Tom Cable is also on the coaching staff. He's been hit with domestic violence before. I mean, I don't know how much sway and how much pull John Gruden has when it comes to that, domestic violence. And again, the descriptions are ugly. The descriptions are really, really ugly what Trent Brown did. Now, there are pictures floating around Twitter of apparently the victim and what happened to her. And I'm going to say, I don't see anything in those pictures. What I see in those pictures are pretty much nothing. In one of the pictures, I think there's a few bruises, a few dark spots, and that could be from someone just grabbing someone's arms. I always see that. I always tell the wife, and this is no joke, I tell the wife that all the time. Like, if we go to someone's house or someone comes over our house and I'll see, like, some little dark bruises on their hand, I'm like, yep, she's abused. You know what I mean? And that's just a sign to me. And look, some people bruise really easy. Even the wife bruises easy. She'll, like, run into the wall doing something, and she'll come up with a dark spot, and I'm like, great. Now you're going to go to work. People think that you're abused. That's just how I think, because I don't ever want anyone to think that, because I've never put my hands on a woman. I've been raised way better than that. Just won't do it. Won't do it and won't allow that to happen. That is like the worst thing that could ever happen. I don't care how crazy they ever get. And believe me, they can get crazy. I haven't seen anything on those pictures. Those pictures didn't tell me anything. If I was looking for some evidence, one of the pictures said that she got a chipped tooth. I still didn't even see the chipped tooth. I didn't. So I really don't know what those pictures are going to tell. But again, I can't be the judge and the jury right now and say he's guilty or he's not. And there's so many people who've already considered him guilty on Twitter, online, and that's not fair. Because nowadays, it's like you're guilty until proven innocent when you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So we'll see what happens. A lot of people are saying that it's a red flag because it's a civil lawsuit. It's not a criminal lawsuit. I don't know the victim's situation. I don't know what would be best for her. And if she is truly a victim, it all the thing that matters is not what I think, what you think, or what the next man thinks. All that matters is what she thinks is best for her and her family and her situation. So if filing a civil suit to get it over with and try to get some money and get out is best for her, so be it, if that's the truth. If it's not the truth, and this is something I've always said, if it's not the truth and you're throwing out false accusations because you're salty and you're mad about something, something should happen to you, because now you're putting salt on a man's name, you're putting dirt on a man's name that is really hard to clear. It is really hard to clear your name of something that you've been falsely accused of, even though you've been falsely accused of and it's been proven that. You know, if you Google Trent Brown's name right now, guess what? Trent Brown domestic violence shows up. That's not what he's going to want if he has not done anything. So that's rough. So I always felt like if someone's going to falsely accuse you of that, they should be guilty of something as well. You know what I mean? They should have some kind of penalty as well. But who knows? So a lot of people are on the side of it's a big money grab, and others are on the side of let's just kind of wait and see what happens. And some are like, okay, he's absolutely guilty. There's three sides of this story: his side, her side, and the truth. At some point, the truth will come out. So, Raider Nation, I just caution you and tell you as a fan base, sit back, take off your glasses, and let it just play out. Don't judge her, don't judge him until you find out exactly what the deal is. And the NFL, hopefully, if they're on top of their game, they will come to a conclusion. Will they put him on the commissioner's exempt list? I don't know. I thought so. But then I had someone hit me up on Twitter and was like, what? They didn't put AB on the exempt list. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. But I know if AB signs with a team right now, because he's got these other assaults that he has going on and these other lawsuits he has going on, that they would put him on the commissioner's list. So I really don't know what they're going to do. Is he going to play this weekend? I don't know. He didn't practice on Wednesday. I don't think that was coincidental. I think that the Raiders wanted to make sure that they kind of shielded him from everybody in the media and didn't have him out there and said that he had a calf strain. That could be true, but it just seems very coincidental. It happened on Monday. Lawsuit was filed on Tuesday or Monday. It was filed on Monday or Tuesday, one of the two. I know I said Monday on Wednesday, but the article I read, the piece I read on Pro Football Talk said that they got it wrong. It was actually on Tuesday. So one of those 2 days is when the lawsuit was filed. But either way, it doesn't really matter when it was filed. Clearly, there's something going on here with Trent Brown and his son's mom. And that stuff happens. Again, I told you, part of the reason I left California to come to Texas was because I had to get away from my younger son's mom. Because things just weren't right. She wasn't mature enough, and I wasn't mature enough to be able to handle things in a mature situation where it benefited our son, and it kept us out of, you know, each other's way where, you know, we wanted to wring each other's necks. We just weren't mature enough on that level. I think that we're a lot more grown now, so if we're in the same state, it'd be okay. But, you know, sometimes, you know, water and vinegar don't mix all the time. Actually, water and vinegar never mixes. But sometimes you can, you know, grow up a little bit and be a little bit more mature. So who knows what the real situation is here, but it's a very serious situation. So I take this very seriously. If he's guilty of this, I would love to see the Raiders just dismiss him. But like I said, $36 million cap hit, dead money hit this year, $21 million next year. Are they willing to do that? And, oh, by the way, lose a hell of a player that protects Derek Carr's front side, not his blind side, but his front side, the right tackle's position? That's a good question. Are they going to go for victories? Or are they going to go for dignity? It's a good question. We'll have to pay attention and see. Your calls, your thoughts, everything, that's coming up next in segment number 3 of the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Raider Izzy calling in about the Trent Brown situation that's going on and why Mark Davis is so much against players on the roster that have any type of domestic violence situation. Here he is, Raider Izzy.
What up, Q? Raider Izzy. Wanted to just kind of touch on this whole Trent Brown thing and give a little bit of information to the Raider fans out there that just might not know. I know a lot of them do, but the reason that Mark Davis is so adamant about making sure that there is nobody with any form of history of domestic violence on the team is because of the basically the Biletnikoff Foundation. Again, I know a lot of people know this, but some might not, so I figured it was worth a phone call. Basically, Fred Biletnikoff's daughter, Tracy, unfortunately, I believe she was actually murdered through, you know, an act of domestic violence. If anybody wants more information on it, it's Biletnikoff.org. This is Tracy's Place of Hope, I think it was. Now it's just called the Biletnikoff Foundation. Mark Davis is actually the biggest contributor to that foundation. And notice on the board and everything there. So that's the main reason for it. Again, I'm sorry, and a lot of people know this, but some might not. You know, the younger fans out there. That's why, you know, that's why that we don't have any players or coaches. I mean, I know Cable. I'm not sure the reasoning behind that, but that's why he's so adamant about it. So I just kind of wanted to throw that information out there. It's a terrible situation. It's disgusting to hear about. I know, again, it's just an accusation on Trent Brown right now. He's not technically guilty. We have a kind of a short leash on him. That's why. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thanks again, Q. Later.
Yep, you're 100% correct. And honestly, regardless if he had a family member or not in the situation, that's how it should be. My personal thoughts, I gave it to you in segment number 2, but it's real simple. You put your hands on a woman, any shape or form, you need to be let go. To play this game, in my opinion, is a privilege, not a right. Which still does not mean that Trent Brown is guilty. It's just giving my opinion on what I think of domestic violence, period. Next call, JC Raider from Ogden, Utah, calling in to share his thoughts on the team and how it pertains to the Trent Brown situation. Here he is, JC Raider in Ogden, Utah.
Hey, Q. This is JC Raider out of Ogden, Utah. I haven't called for a while. But, man, just this morning, got up, saw the news about Trent Brown, and, you know, this is why we as Raiders fans can't have nice things. This stuff seems to happen. I hope they get it figured out. But with the Raiders' stance on domestic violence, it's, I don't know how this is going to all play out. I guess we'll just have to buckle up and see what happens. Anyway, that's all I really want to call about. I really would like to get this team to have everybody there all at once and have the team we had, you know, before the season began. But here we go. And I still got faith. I think we got a good team. I think we have some really good coaches. And I think they can make things work just like they have without having Antonio Brown and the way they've been able to make the offensive line work without the pieces they were missing. So I don't know, I think we still pull it out and have a good season, even if Brown ends up not being there. But man, that's a big piece to miss. Anyway, love the podcast, love Red Nation, and I'm out.
It's never easy, right? Again, if he's found to be guilty, in my opinion, he needs to be released. But that's just me. We'll see how all that shakes out. John Gruden and Mike Mayock may, be too heavily invested in him. They may have too much money in the dead cap money where they don't want to just go ahead and let the guy go. He will get picked up. It's not like he won't be able to play. He'll get picked up by another team. He'll just get suspended by the league. But still, that's a lot of dead cap space or dead cap money that the Raiders will have to absorb. So what will they do? That's a good question, if it even comes to that. We don't even know if it's going to come to that. So thank you so much for that call. I appreciate that. Next up, Raider Kev calling in to speak on the Trent Brown situation and how big of a blow this potential punishment can be. Here's Raider Kev.
Q, what up? What up, Raider Nation? I just wanted to call and talk about Trent Brown and his lawsuit of domestic violence. Potentially could be a big blow for the Raiders through all the adversity that the team's been through this year. I would consider any kind of punishment handed down from the NFL at this point probably wouldn't happen, but if it does, if and when it does, that's kind of a big blow to the offensive line for sure. Won't have that big guy to protect Derek Carr's blind side. We're talking about football here. Obviously, there's bigger things at play. You know, there's, I don't know all the details to the case yet. This was just reported. Nor do I condone any of that sort of behavior. But just looking at it, just kind of like shaking your head, because throughout this year with the AB drama and losing guys to injuries and the things that this team had to overcome, maybe this situation might be a little bit too much to overcome, depending on the punishment that could possibly be handed down from this situation. And the fact that Mark Davis has openly said in the past about how he will not stand and will not put up with domestic violence, because it kind of hits a little home with him and former Raiders. So with that being said, just thought I'd share my thoughts on it, and just shaking your head when you read stuff like that, because it just seems like one thing after the other after this, for this season. So another thing we got to get past, it eventually happened when it happens, so we'll see what the upcoming details, but just from, you know, outside looking into the situation, does not look good. Anyway, just thought I'd give my thoughts. Raiders going into the week 3-2. Got Green Bay. So all I got to say is just win, baby. All right, Raider Kev out.
Yeah, man. I mean, so far this season has definitely been very challenging, right? It still is. Got the AB situation, the travel situation, the away game situation, injuries. Tons of challenges have hit the Raiders, but they've been finding ways to move past them, overcome them, sitting at 3-2 right now and have a chance to go and prove a big point in Lambeau Field on Sunday and move to 4-2. Not saying it's going to happen, but there's a good chance that they could make that happen, because this team has found ways to overcome the challenges that have been before them. So I've been really proud of what I've seen from this Raiders team. Thank you so much for that call. New York Nasty, he's up next. Hasn't called in a while because he got married. Congratulations on that. And has a lot of things going on, but he's calling to speak on the team, and in particular, the defense against teams that they got coming up in the next 3 weeks. Here he is, New York Nasty.
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. This is New York Nasty. Haven't called in a while. Got married. Went out of town for a while, and I'm just excited to be listening. I missed a lot, but I'm calling about the outlook in the next few weeks here. It looks like we have Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and Matthew Stafford in the next 3 weeks. I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm loving the season, don't get me wrong, mostly because Josh Jacobs is just a dude, as you would say. But I don't know if I'm sold on Paul Gunther and everything that's going on with the defense. I am sold on Devin Booker because he's just hilarious, but and he's got the defensive line working pretty hard. But the rest of these things need to be figured out because the quarterbacks we have beat have been Jacoby Brissett, Chase Daniel, and I can't think right now of the other ones. But I don't know that we've really played a caliber-type quarterback. We played back Patrick Mahomes. Again, but Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, they ball. We got to be able to stop them. And I think the next few weeks will possibly decide the season. If we can pull out a couple wins between these tough rivals, we'll be good. Because the rest of the season, obviously we got some division games. They're always tough. But the next few weeks are going to be huge, and that's the main purpose of my call here. Also, I want to say that if anybody's going to that Jets game on November 24th, hit me up on the Facebook group. Josh Cav is my name on there. Definitely want to link up with some Raider fans, and I'll probably mention this every couple of weeks until then. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. Raider Nation. New York Nasty out.
Yeah, man, in my opinion, the next 2 weeks are going to absolutely tell you what or who this Raider team plans to be. Going up against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, the Texans and Deshaun Watson, and hell, Matt Stafford and the Lions, like you mentioned, it's going to be tough. But it absolutely will define the Raiders moving forward this season. Who are they going to be? Huge test against the Hall of Famer this weekend against Aaron Rodgers. And then, boom, they got to go to Houston to play the Texans. I'll be at that game. And Deshaun Watson and that team, they're really cooking right now. So, again, man, they got to finish off the road trip really, really strong. At least win one of those games. They got to win one of the games, in my opinion, either Green Bay or Houston, to kind of keep that momentum moving forward that they have built up so far this season. But thank you so much for that call, man. Definitely appreciate that. And congratulations again on getting married. Loyal T in the 915, he's up next, calling in to talk about Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams, talking about the Raiders team so far this season, and also social media love on Facebook. Here he is, Loyal T in the 915.
Hey, what up, Raider Nation? What up, Q? It's your boy, Loyal T, calling from the 915. Hey, I know by now we already, probably already talking about it. Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams. Boo-hoo. I've been saying it since the first-round draft picks, and we are looking mighty fine right now. Don't let that discourage you. Raider Nation, keep your heads high. We got this. I still say that. Although, the Bears, they are good, but they are not the end-all team. All right, so do not let the Bears say, hey, if you can beat us, you can beat anyone. And I like to believe that, but that is not the case. We're going to have a hell of a time, especially if Devontae Adams is back. But we take it one game at a time, Raider Nation. Stay loyal. Stay true to the Raiders. I'm not a big social media guy, but I am on Facebook every now and then. I'd like to thank all y'all from the Raider Nation that share the game, that stream the game on Facebook. Man, I'm truly grateful for that. Please continue to do that, but try to calm down on that negativity. Carr's going to throw the ball. If he throws it short, then let him throw it short because we're moving the ball forward, all right? Hey, I love this team. I love the nation, Raider Nation for life. I'm out.
Good call, my man, but you're not supposed to announce that, streaming is going on Facebook because someone's going to try to shut that down. But I definitely appreciate that call. And hey, man, I'll tell you, before I had the DirecTV Sunday ticket, it was frustrating for me as well. I had to find some kind of way to bootleg the games each and every Sunday. And I did. I did a hell of a job. And you can hit me up on Twitter at yourboyq254 if you need a stream. I got a really good stream link, but I'm not going to announce it over here because I don't want anybody to get caught up and I don't want it to get shut down. So hit me up, though, at yourboyq254 if you need a streaming link, a really, really good one to watch the Raider games on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays or whatever day they're playing. I got you covered like a Jimmy hat. So definitely hit me up again at your boy Q254. Just got a couple more calls for you today. Joe in Arizona calling in to talk about officiating and how the excessive penalties are not going on just in the NFL, but even at the high school level. Here's Joe in Arizona.
Hey, Q, it's Joe in Arizona. Hey, listen to the podcast this Tuesday night, and you had a call about the officiating and all the flags being called, and I just want to kind of throw in my two cents on it. It's not just in the NFL. My son plays high school ball here in Arizona, and his last game, there was 32 flags thrown. 32. In six games over the season, they have had 10 penalties called that hold back a touchdown. 10! That's ridiculous. So that's 10 scores that they pulled back. We also had some penalties that should have been called that were not. You know, and talking more about the NFL and the penalties that are being called, I would like to see more consistency, like you guys have said, with, I mean, just across the board. You know, if the Raiders are getting fined and people suspended, then, and even just ejected, then any player that makes the same penalty should have the exact same discipline. You know, if Montez Burfict gets ejected for a helmet-to-helmet, well, then, by God, somebody on the Patriots or the Chiefs should also be ejected for that same hit. Or we just stop being a bunch of pansy asses and play the frickin' game the way it was designed. I'm tired of the soft era. Let's get back to the bone crushing and the war. But again, I regress. The flags that are being thrown is absolutely ridiculous. Again, not just NFL, but it drops all the way down to college ball or high school ball, man. So, all right. That's all I needed to say. Have a good night.
That's a good point, my man. And as a guy who covers and sees a lot of different games from the high school level to the college level to the NFL, you're right, man. There's a lot of crazy officiating going on. Teams just got to find a way to overcome that. Really. I mean, teams just have to find a way not to focus on the officiating, but focus on what they're doing. And that's as simple as it is. And I know, and there's been so many people that hit me up on Twitter and say I'm not in touch with reality because I don't believe that the Raiders are getting hit harder than other teams. I think officiating is just bad in general. I don't think it's just singular to the Raiders. I think it's just in general bad. It is. It was bad on Monday night, the Packers and the Lions. It was bad. The Raiders weren't out there playing, but the Lions got hit with two terrible calls. Trey Flowers got hit with two terrible calls, in my opinion. One that cost the Lions a sack. One that kept the drive going for the Packers. But, you know, I get told that it's only the Raiders that get bad calls. No, I think that a lot of teams in the league are getting bad calls. And I think a lot of teams in college are getting bad calls. There was a bad call in the Baylor Bears versus the Texas Tech Red Raiders on Saturday at McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas. There was a terrible call where it should have been a fumble and they called it a legal snap. Could have changed the game. And look, that was just one play. There was multiple plays in that game that were called bad. And that's just, you know, on the collegiate level. And I agree with Joe. There's calls on the high school level as well. You just got to overcome that. It's a lot easier to become an official now. I feel like they're fast-tracking folks to become officials now. So there's a lot less experienced guys out there doing what they do. A lot of these better, older, veteran officials, they're in the booth. They're in the booth working for Fox, CBS, ESPN, whatever it is. They're making money instead of having the heat on them to have to actually be officials. Now they just kind of sit there and talk about it, but I totally get what you're saying. Thank you for that call, Joe. Definitely appreciate that. Next up, Raider Ray from Indiana calling in to talk about this Sunday's game versus the Packers. And, oh, yeah, he's a new booty. So here he is, Raider Ray from Indiana.
Hey, Q. It's your boy Raider Ray coming out of Indiana. Yeah, I just wanted to dive in on the game coming up. Oh, and I guess you could say I'm a new booty. But let's get into the game coming up this Sunday. We're heading to Lambeau. We're playing the Packers, a team that's given up 20th in yards allowed this season. I think this is an opportunity for the Oakland Raiders up front to really get some push for Josh Jacobs, Richie Incognito, Trent Brown, Colton Miller, Rodney. This is a game where I could see us pushing these men off of the ball and really creating some run lanes for Josh Jacobs, and I think that's going to be key going into this game. I think Josh Jacobs is poised to have a big game against the Packers. I think we outbully this football team. I think we're bigger men. I think we're more physical men. I think we want it more, and coming off of a bye week and a short week for the Packers, I think we can really move this ball on the ground. Now I'm going to transition into the wide receiver because the new acquisition, Zay Jones, I believe he's going to be a huge comp. He's going to be a number three and number two. I think Tyrell Williams is our number two wide receiver behind Darren Waller. And I think that's going to be the key going in. Not to really look at Tyrell Williams as a number one. I think we need to view him as a number two behind Waller and the rest of our receivers fall where they fall behind that. I think Trevor Davis, the former Packers, in for a big game. I think we can get him involved in trick plays. We've seen Detroit Lions use free flickers against the Packers. And I think Trevor Davis is one of those players that can really have a big game for himself. I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder this game, and he's going to be a number 11. He's going to be one to look out for. Zay Jones, I believe, can be a number two besides Tyrell Williams. He's somebody in his second year who really flashed big play potential and was a big player for the Bills. And Buffalo has a history of letting go of wide receivers and then finding success elsewhere. So look for Zay Jones, who I think pick up this playbook rather quickly, and John Gruden dial up some plays with him. I'm actually really excited about this. Let's get to the defense. I think the defense needs to get to Aaron Rodgers and contain him inside the pocket. Don't let him get outside and surf around and look downfield and launch the ball. I think we contain him inside the pocket. We shut down the run, make him force throws inside the pocket. Maurice Hurst, P.J. Hall, Hankins, I think those players have big games this week. And shutting down the run game and getting to him. We need to press these wide receivers. They're having drop issues. They're banged up. I think we play physical. I think this is a game we put our helmets on, we make the chin strap, and when that music walks, we make that walk and we play football. We put that mouthpiece in and we go to war, and I don't think too many teams are as physical as the Oakland Raiders this year.
Thank you for that call. Welcome to the family, and I definitely think the Raiders can go off in the run game, especially if the Packers are not worried about it, like my guy Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers told us on Wednesday. If that's the case, like I told him, man, the Raiders are willing to run all day long. If you don't think that it's a big deal for the Raiders to be able to run on you and you're just going to stop them in the red zone, good luck at that, Jack. Really good luck at that. And I'm sure John Gruden will say, okay, no doubt, we'll run Josh Jacobs up the gut all day long. And if you can't stop it, then okay, cool. Because that's what the Eagles did. The Eagles ran all over the Packers, and all of a sudden the Packers looked up at the end of the game, and guess where they were? Losing. So in this game against the Packers, if you run the rock and run it very effectively and get a little bit of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, you can't let him sit back there all day. But if you get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, definitely could win that game. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play the Raiders defensively and who could shine for the Raiders. And I think Josh Jacobs is in for a big day. I think Darren Waller, coming fresh off his contract extension, I think he's in for a big day. And, hell, Derek Carr might have some big numbers as well. Not like he's going to be going deep all day, but just because he'll get some guys open short that are able to go and get some yak yards. So I'm excited about what I'm going to see on Sunday from the Raiders during the Packer game. Last call of the day comes from my guy, Vader Raider in the 303. Haven't heard from him in a while, but he's calling to check back in. Let Raider Nation know where he's been, how come he hasn't checked in a while, and his thoughts on the Packers game on Sunday. Here he is, Vader Raider in the 303.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's Vader Raider here. God, shout out to my dude from Salt Lake. I think it's Sean from Salt Lake. He kind of asked where we all were. Just want to let y'all know one of us is alive and well. Tried to get on the pod, tried to do a couple of calls, I think last week, but they didn't get played. So I just was like, well, I guess, since Q, your pod is just blowing up left and right, and the format's kind of changing. You've been adding some stuff, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. What you've been doing with the pod is absolute fire, and the pod has just exploded, which is great. It's great news for us because, one day when this thing goes national and Q's rolling in the dough, we're going to be able to say we were here at inception. But Yeah, not too much to add. Just really proud of the team and proud of the direction we're going in right now. And looking forward to this game on Sunday against the Packers. Honestly, Raider Nation, I think we got a shot after what I saw last night. This Packer team, you know, you can run on them. And our identity has seemed to be solidified now as a ground-and-pound team, like Houston's saying. But, yeah, our offensive line is a beast, and hopefully getting Gabe back this week will really help and really just kind of make it that much better. But, yeah, Raider Nation, I'm proud of the team. I'm proud of what Derek's doing. I know I see a lot of you on Twitter that, you know, you kind of try people trying to call other people out that had hated on Derek, and, you know, if I'm considered one of those, that's fine. I'm proud of what he's doing, and I'm hoping that he continues to do it, and I'm hoping the team continues to keep growing and keep playing good football like they have been. But, anyway, Raider Nation, I hope you have a great week, and Q, you have a great week too, and yeah, let's get this dub on Sunday, man. We can go up there and do it, Raider Nation. We can do it. You know, we got the talent, we got the players, and we got the coaching. So, you know, we need to go up there and hopefully play some really good football and get that dub. All right, Raider Nation, have a good week. Raider, Raider, out.
Hey, it's great to hear from you, my man. Definitely appreciate you. Sorry I didn't get your calls on from last week. Just got caught up with a bunch of calls, but definitely appreciate hearing from you this week, and I agree with you. You know, definitely proud of where this team is and how they played and overcome some real big challenges that have been in front of them. I think Derek Carr has done exactly what John Gruden wants them to do. Is it ideal? Is it exactly what Raider Nation wants to see? No, but finding ways to win games. And look, they've only won 3 games. They're not haven't achieved anything. A lot of people are talking about the P word and you know, extending the season. And I'm not ready to say that until I see more. I want to see more, and this weekend will begin. That this weekend will tell me a lot, because the Green Bay Packers are a playoff team. Yeah, you want to talk about the P word? Beat a team that you know is going to be in the P, in the playoffs, and that's Green Bay. And yeah, Chicago looks like a team that will probably be in the playoffs as well, but they didn't have a very good quarterback. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback. What can you do against him? Show me something in this game to tell me that you're serious about making a postseason run. I don't want to get involved and talk about the P word just yet, because there are only 5 games into the season. They still got 11 regular season games to go, including this week against the Packers, next week against the Houston Texans. But is this game winnable? Yeah. Is it losable? Yeah. But if you come with a solid game plan, you've had an extra week off, how well could John Gruden prepare? We already know that he's really, really good at the first 20, 25 plays, scripts it really well. Well, you've had a whole week to script this game up. How well can you go and you know, attack the Green Bay Packers, knowing that they're coming off a short week? They just had a tough game with Detroit on Monday night. How can you attack them? Because that's what you got to do. Don't allow them to attack you. You have to attack them. So we'll see how it shakes out. But, yeah, I do think this game is very winnable. We'll just have to see how John Gruden handles it. So thank you so much for those calls. Definitely appreciate that. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Friday's show, we'll end the week and head into the weekend preparing for that Packer game. So I'll talk all things Packers and Raiders. I'll give you my thoughts on exactly how I think the Raiders could win the game, my blueprint to it. I've had some really good blueprints. Sometimes the Raiders follow it, sometimes they don't. I'm going to give you my breakdown of the game tomorrow. Also, I'll have the news and notes of the day. We'll probably hear a little bit more on the Trent Brown situation. Maybe there'll be a running back signing. We already know about Darren Waller getting his contract extension. Maybe there'll be some more news and notes and nuggets that I'll need to bring to you, but I'll do that on tomorrow's show. Plus, your call, 707-654-4693. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.